Ephesians chapter 5. We've not been there recently, so I thought I'd go there. I am not going necessarily where Pastor has been preaching with precision, and he has truly been preaching with precision in the Lord's hand, and it's been very, very helpful and convicting and challenging, but I think I'm going to hit on a topic tonight that is vital, not only to the marriage relationship, but to every relationship that we have. And you understand that life is relationships, right? And Satan wants to destroy our relationships, especially our relationship with the Lord. Now, he can't rob us of our salvation, but he can certainly rob us of our joy in salvation. We allow him to. And so I want to protect my relationships, and God has given us some very specific principles in Scripture, of course, in guarding those relationships. And we'll look at one tonight that I think will be very important and be very helpful. I'm just going to read one verse by way of introduction, and then we'll read some other scriptures as we go along. And so keep your fingers licked so that you can turn pages real quick. And we'll get around the Bible a little bit tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That's my text. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And the title of my message tonight is The Follower's Attitude. The Follower's Attitude. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you for how you speak to us through your Word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leadership in this moment, this hour. But God, I confess, I sure do need your help. I do want to be a blessing. I want to please you. I want you to be pleased with what is spoken. But God, even what I speak has no spiritual influence without your touch, without your help, without your power. So I pray you'd speak through me, and I pray that with the same desire that I have to be filled with your Spirit to preach, that each person would have that same desire to be a Spirit-filled listener. And God, may we find truth tonight that will help us in our relationships and with the responsibility that you have given us as a church as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Growing up, we play a game oftentimes. It's called Follow the Leader. How many have ever played that game, Follow the Leader? And so everyone who's ever played Follow the Leader, what did everybody want to be? The leader. Everybody wanted to be the leader. But you can't play Follow the Leader if everybody's the leader, right? And so we'd play Follow the Leader, and one, somehow we would figure out who it's going to be the leader. Maybe we would fight and wrestle until the last one standing got to be the leader. But the leader would walk, then they would run. And we were supposed to walk and then run. If they jumped over something, we were supposed to jump over the same thing. If they were to fall down and roll, then we were supposed to follow them and roll, fall down and roll. Whatever they were supposed to do, we were following the leader, and that's exactly what we tried to do. And the one who followed the best was the winner and got to become the leader for the next game of Follow the Leader. Everybody wanted to be the leader, though, in the beginning. But for the game to go right, there had to be followers. You've heard the statement oftentimes, there's too many chiefs and not enough what? Indians. Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. We have opportunity in the Word of God to see an example of many great men, great leaders throughout time, throughout history in the Word of God. We see Moses. He was a great leader. He led millions. As a matter of fact, he led a million women for 40 years, and they didn't get a new pair of shoes. That's real leadership. Didn't buy them one new pair of shoes over 40 years. Now, that's a great leader. But he led great multitudes of people, and he led leaders. And, of course, his father-in-law, Jethro, was a great help to him in understanding the delegation of that authority and of that leadership and the help that he needed with that. But he had special people like Joshua. Moses could not have been a Moses without men like Aaron and Hur in the battle, as Moses was weary. And the men, Aaron and Hur, would hold up his hands And he was a great leader, but he could not have reached his potential without the followers that helped him. As a great leader, by at least starting out, King Saul. He was a great leader. And the Bible says that there was a band of men whose hearts God had touched that followed him and helped him and served with him. King David was a great leader. And even after being anointed to be the king, Saul, of course, being very jealous, and Saul tried to take David's life. And David fled finally to the cave of Adullam, and he was there alone. And then, of course, there were those who were discouraged and those who were distressed and those who were dissatisfied who came and followed him there. And David made a commitment to those men and to those families to help them and to lead them and to take care of them. They were looking for a leader, and so they followed him, and David took care of them and tried to lead them by the best way that he could and to protect them. And many of those men that followed him there became a part of those loyal, mighty men that Pastor mentioned this morning, that followed him and went with him wherever he went. There were men like the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul did some amazing works. The power of God upon his life and the call of God to take the gospel. And the Apostle Paul was a great leader, perhaps the greatest missionary that walked on the face of the earth other than the Lord Jesus himself. The Apostle Paul, however, always had a team. He always had a group. He always had people with him, following him, helping him, strengthening him, encouraging him, giving him advice, and going in the same direction. You know, sometimes people may be tempted to say about their church, you know, well, if we had a Moses, boy, we could really do something. But I suggest to you tonight that it wouldn't matter if you had a Moses or not, because it's not dependent upon the Moses. Moses couldn't do any more with you and I than our own pastor can tonight. The Apostle Paul couldn't do any more with you and I and with our church or with any other church than our pastor or any other pastor of a church. King David couldn't do any more with us than our pastor can, or that any leader in our lives can at all, because it's not always up to the leader, but it's up to the follower. And I want to show you some things tonight that I think will be a help. In our text in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1, if you'd look at it with me, what's that first word? Say it with me. Ready? Be. The word be is there. It doesn't say do, it says be. We're talking about something that we are to be and not something that we are to only do from time to time. It's not something that we put on Sundays or Wednesdays. Following is not something that we put on when the leader is around, when the boss is around. Be is an attitude of serving. It's implying it's something that we're to be on the inside, that is to work itself out in what we do. In other words, we are to do what the Bible says we're to do in following our leaders because of who we are. And we're to have that servant attitude. It's an attitude of serving. It's who you are. But number two, I want you to look at that second word, be ye. You know, some people get the idea that the ministry of reaching folks and getting the gospel out and preaching the gospel and visiting in hospitals and visiting in homes and following up on people and following up on absentees is the job of the pastor only, or perhaps the deacons. But the Bible tells us that you and I are to just as important in carrying out the work of the ministry as the pastor or the staff and faculty or the deacons. The ye, the be ye, therefore, followers, is not just for our pastor, but it's for everyone. It's an attitude that says, I don't have to do, you fill in the blank, I don't have to go out on visitation, I don't have to go to the hospital, I don't have to care about people and give them a call when I miss them, but I get to. You see, the follower's attitude is not one of I have to do what I'm told. It's that I get to serve with. It's a whole different attitude. And People often miss out on that attitude, but it is the attitude, it is the heart change and understanding what God is talking about when he talks about being followers in whatever relationship that we have. Because every relationship that we have has a leader and has a follower. So be, don't just do, but be ye, that includes every one of us, be ye therefore. Now, therefore is an interesting word. And it's referring back to what came before in Ephesians chapter 4. Be ye therefore. After all that is said in Ephesians, especially in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And it goes on and it continues concerning the power of a unified church, the body of Christ. And then in the latter verses, it encourages us, the Apostle Paul encourages us in our walk and things that we are to do and things that we're not to do. But we cannot do them in and of ourselves. We must be followers of God. And the only way that we can do it is through following Him. And so we come to that verse, be ye therefore, as a result of what commands and of what challenges I have given you, because you are now children of light and you have a responsibility to share that light and to live the Christ life in front of a dark world, I want you to understand that you are to follow God. Be ye therefore followers is the next word. Followers, it means imitator. Just like the game, follow the leader, the followers would imitate, would mimic, if you will, exactly what the leader did. They would follow the leader. They would imitate. A follower is a servant. It's one who submits to the God-given leadership. It's one who adapts to the plan of the leader. Is anybody home tonight? It is an attitude that oftentimes rubs us the wrong way. Brother Newby and I, we joke around in Sunday school from time to time about sermons that are preached and how it rubs us the wrong way. And is he here? I forget what word he used. What word do you call it? Irritating. You ever heard somebody call preaching irritating? But sometimes preaching is irritating. And when it comes to us submitting and adapting to the will of God and to the will of those that he's put in our lives, boy, it's hard to get excited about that. I could preach about the blood of Christ and we'd hear a lot of amens, and preach about grace and we'd hear a lot of amens, and preach about being saved and hear a lot of amens. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can get excited about the opportunity to be the follower, a biblical follower, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to receive insight and blessing from God as you continue to serve him and follow those God-given leaders. Be ye therefore followers. It's one who submits to leadership. It's one who adapts to the plan. Be ye followers. Be ye therefore followers. Here's the key. Of God. Amen. Of God. We're to imitate God. And we can't do that in our own strength, right? Can't do that in our own power. We can't will it to happen. We submit ourselves to the Lord and to his leadership, and he molds us into his image. So that means that if we're to be followers of God, we're to imitate God, we're to imitate what he does. Chapter 4 of Ephesians tells us a lot of things that God is and God does that we're to imitate. We're to follow what he wants. Amen? We're supposed to follow what God wants. We're to follow his plans. And as he reveals those plans to us, we're to follow them. You agree with that? Does that mean that you agree even following the people that he, God, has ordained as leaders? Because that's very important. Because people often have the attitude, well, bless the Lord, I'm not going to follow a man, I'll follow God. But I beg to differ with you, because God has placed leadership in our lives so that we can follow them. And if we're not following them, then we are not following God. Amen. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. How do children follow? Well, when my kids were smaller children, I would say to them, come on, it's time to go. And they would rush up to me, and oftentimes I would grab their hand, and we would walk together. They would follow me. If there were strange people around, you know, then they would run to me and follow me wherever I went. Matter of fact, sometimes grabbing a hold of my pants and being sure that they were in the safety and the security of following their father. You know, the Bible commands us, speaking to adults, that even as adults, we are to follow God's authority and follow God's plans as dear children. And oftentimes, the reason that I don't and the reason that you don't is because of so much pride. Because we fail to understand the entire picture of God's plan in carrying out His purposes and His will. And I hope the Lord will help us tonight and open our eyes, perhaps peel back some of the layers and help us to realize that none of us are self-made men or women. None of the successes that we have seen or felt are because of us or because of flesh. It could very well be that God honors, however, those who are willing to be obedient, not just to do what we're supposed to do, but to be what we're supposed to be, and that's followers. You know, God wants us to be a witness and not just do witnessing. You know, National Baptist Soul Winning Nights, Thursday evening at 7 o'clock or 6:30. You know, and I think everybody ought to be involved in visitation. We have it on Tuesday nights. We're going to have it. I failed to have it put in the bulletin, but we're having it Tuesday nights in July, having it Saturday, and we have different opportunities. And I think as many as can be in the church ought to be involved in that, don't you? I think everybody that can be ought to be a part of that. However, I don't think that's just that we check it off of our list and we say, well, I went witnessing this week. I went on visitation this week. I went soul winning this week. No, God desires for us to be witnesses, to be soul winners, and not just do it. No more than God expects us to, He doesn't expect us to do Christianity. He expects us to be Christ-like. And God doesn't expect us to just do what we're told in following. We are to be followers. And that's a whole different area. That's a whole different attitude. And it changes everything about the opportunity of serving God. It changes everything and every bit of the outlook that you and I have in our relationships. And it removes from us the temptation of the enemy to have us well up in pride and be a hindrance to the relationship and to the work of God. So I want to make several statements to you this evening. First of all, following, and I've already hit this, but following is more of an attitude than an action. I was talking to somebody this week who shared a story with me concerning a man that he had met, and this man was talking about how he had gone to several churches. He knows he needs to be in church. He's not saved. He knows he's not. He knows he needs to be saved. But he's gone to several churches, and when he goes to those churches, he sees those people fussing and feuding and arguing and not getting along with one another. Now, thank God we don't see that here. But hey, it could happen. And he said, look, why should I go to church? They do the same thing there as I do anywhere else. What's a shame, isn't it? And so if we could get to a place where we understand that following and doing, for lack of a better way to say it, doing what we're asked to do or following the leadership in our relationships, if we could get beyond it being just an action that we fulfill, an obedience that we do, and it's an attitude of obedience to the Lord. Following is more of an attitude than an action. I got to say this. Of course, Pastor did not ask me to preach this, and I know this makes him a bit uncomfortable with something like this, but these are things that I think will be a help to us in our relationship. and all of our relationships with him and with everyone else with whom we have a relationship. Because there's always the leader, there's always followers, and we are one of those in every instance. So following is more of an attitude than an action. The responsibility of following is placed upon the follower and not the ability of the leader. The responsibility of following is placed upon the follower and not the ability of the leader. Wives, and we're going to look at it here in a minute. The Bible doesn't say, follow your husband if he's a good, godly man. Children, doesn't say, obey your parents in the Lord if they are godly parents. The commands that God gives us are not limited to the good qualities and the abilities of those parents and of those employers and of those leaders that measure up to some level of leadership ability. So the responsibility of following is placed upon the follower and not the ability of the leader. From chapter 5, verse 1, look down at verse number 22. God begins to deal with relationships that he's ordained. And in verse number 22, he deals with the husbands, or 22 through the rest of the chapter, as Pastor has preached, he begins to deal with husbands and wives. But who does he deal with first? I believe there's order to this. I don't believe God puts anything in here by accident. But who does God deal with first? Well, he deals with wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Listen, your husband cannot be what God wants him to be unless you help him be that. How many times have you heard our pastor say that I wouldn't be able to do the things I do if it weren't for his wife? Amen? And so he deals with husbands and wives. Look in chapter number 6, verses 1 through 4. He deals with parents and children. But where does the responsibility fall first? It falls upon the children. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so the responsibility falls upon the child to follow the parents regardless of their ability, their leadership skills. In chapter 6 and verse 5, it deals with employers and employees, masters and servants. Employers and employees, who does he deal with first? Well, in verse number 5, as we get to it, it says, servants, be obedient unto them. Now look, we understand that as we read through all of those passages, that there are responsibilities of the leaders. There's responsibilities of the husband. There's responsibility of the parents. There's responsibility of the boss or of the employer. But I want to say to you this evening that leaders can do very little without followers. Our pastor may want have a vision that God has given him to do great works and see some great things accomplished, and I've heard a little bit of his vision, and I'm not sure that we want to hear all of the vision that God has given him because we'd be scared to death. But I want to say something that's exciting. But guess what? He's never going to lead us there if we're not willing to follow. I need to get some help. Nick, would you help me? Now, you're going to be the leader, and I'm going to be the follower. And you're going to just walk and go around the perimeter a little bit. See, here's the way some of us do, and some Christians do. I don't like that way, so I'm going to do this. Or, Nick, why don't you come on back? Well, he said he's going that way, but I don't know. I just don't know if that's the right way to go, the right thing to do. I don't know if that's the best. Well, he's not leading anybody. You know what a leader implies? That there's followers. And then there are times, I want you to just try to pull me along, that he has to do this, leaders in our life. Look, I'm going to tell you something. There is no leader, no godly leader, that's ever going to try to do that to get you to follow him.
And that's why the responsibility is not upon the ability of the leader. Responsibility is upon the follower to be obedient and follow. Thank you. So the responsibility of the follower is placed upon the follower and not the ability of the leader. Leaders can do very little without followers. Leaders will never reach their potential without followers, and followers will never reach their potential without leaders. That's why this is a body that must work together as a team. And teams can't win on the field or on the court unless the team is playing together and following the team captain, following the coach. And so our leaders will never reach their potential. Listen, your husband, wives, forgive me, but your husbands will never reach the potential of leaders that they could be in the home without you helping by following them. Parents and children, your parents will never reach the potential of the type of godly parents that they could be, or reach it as quickly or the potential that they could have without you following them. And I mean following them without the rolling of the eyes and following them without attitude. There are some times where you do what you're supposed to do, but not with the attitude of a follower. And that makes a leader not want to lead. Employers, there's business owners. Your employer, your boss, will not reach the potential he could unless he has someone willing to follow. Well, I feel like I'm deserted on an island all by myself. At least I got water. They'll never reach their potential without their followers, and followers will never reach their potential without leaders. Our homes will never be what they could be unless we have that relationship of leadership and followership. Our marriages will never be what they could be unless we have that relationship, that attitude of leadership and followership. Our jobs will never be what they could be without that attitude of leadership and followership. Our church will never be what God wants it to be and reach the potential that it could without that relationship and that attitude of leadership and followership. So don't criticize your leaders, especially around your children, because they're going to grow up and one day they're going to need their leader. They're going to need their pastor. One day they're going to need the youth pastor. So one day they're going to need the leaders that God has placed in their lives and in God's dear name. Please don't criticize your leaders, because you're not doing anything but hurting yourself. You can't hurt and criticize a leader in your home, in your job, and in your church, and expect that it's going to be what God wants it to be. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with me, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. The Apostle Paul is writing. We've looked at the husbands and wives, the parents and children, the employers and employees. Now we look at pastor and people through the example of the Apostle Paul. The Bible says in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 11, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul is saying, I want you to follow me like I follow Christ. You see how I follow Christ, and you read back through chapter number 10 and all of the things that the Apostle Paul went through as he was following the Lord, and with the zeal that he followed him and the love that he followed the Lord. And he's simply saying, it's not about the Apostle Paul here. Paul is simply saying, I want you to follow me like I am trying to follow the Lord. I want you to follow the Lord like I am trying to follow the Lord. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And again, the responsibility of following is placed upon the follower and not the ability of the leader. Because the first person that is mentioned in that verse is, be ye followers of me. People say, but He's just a man, or if it's a boss at work or a lady, she's just a woman. He's just a man. Well, I think that's pretty obvious to all of us, isn't it? He's just a man, and why in the world? Well, let me ask you this. Let me give you this example. You remember when Jesus was a boy, they went to Jerusalem. He was talking and teaching the Pharisees and the doctors there, and mom and Joseph left him behind. You remember that? Came back and got him and was with him and talked with him. And Jesus, as a boy, of course, with Joseph in Luke 2:51, was Jesus perfect, yes or no? Yes. Was Jesus sinless, yes or no? Yes. Was Joseph perfect, yes or no? Was Joseph a sinner, yes or no? And yet the Bible says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. We're talking about omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence. We're talking about God in flesh, the perfect Son of God. Because of the structure that God had placed upon the home, because of that structure, he became obedient. He was subject unto imperfect man. Now, do you think that you and I could be subject to the God-given leaders that God has given us, even though they're imperfect and we're imperfect? I think if perfection can be subject to imperfection, that you and I can be as imperfect. We can be subject to the imperfect people, those who are just men that God has placed in our lives. If Jesus can do it, then so can we. All positional authority is ordained, assigned, and appointed of God. All positional authority is ordained, assigned, and appointed of God. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power, no authority, no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained, assigned, appointed of God. I know I'm going to get criticized. People may say things like, oh, well, Brian Odom, he's just a yes man. You expect me to be a no man? Let me ask you a question. When it comes to the authority of God, do you want to be a no man or do you want to be a yes man? I want to say yes to everything Jesus says. I want to say yes to everything that God has said. Now, I don't always do it, but I want to. So when I'm saying yes to a man or yes to my wife, if I'm saying yes to an authority in my life, my attitude is the understanding I'm saying yes to God. And I want to say yes to God. I want to be a yes man for the Lord. And that's the key. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's not about the leader. It's not about the follower. It's about God. It's about his plan. It's about the way he has constructed it. And by the way, he knows a little bit more than you and I do about it. After all, he did create us. Amen? Look with me back in Ephesians 5, please. It's all about the Lord. Look in verse 21. Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the what? Fear of God. It's about God. Look with me in verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. What's the next four words? As unto the Lord. It's an attitude that we're to have. It's to God. Look in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ. Even as Christ, it's about God. Look in verse number 29. For no man ever hated yet his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Look in chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, or for the Lord. Look in verse number 5 of chapter number 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. It's not about lifting up a man to be God. It's about following God's plan and the leaders that he's placed in our lives and being obedient to him. That's what it's about. In chapter number 6, in verse number 6, the Bible goes on, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Do what your boss says because Jesus said it. Because you're doing it for God. Look with me in verse number 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Hey, don't forget, masters, your master's watching too. And so it's important that we understand that positional authority is ordained and assigned and appointed of God. And when we follow, when we have the attitude of a follower and we're following the leaders that God has placed in our lives, we're not doing it primarily for the leader. We're doing it for the ultimate leader, Christ. We're following Him. I believe if God's people could get that in their hearts and really believe it and live by it, by the power of God, by the enabling power of the Spirit of God, it would change our churches, it would change our homes, it would change our jobs, it would change our nation. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God has raised up leaders all over our nation to bring our country back to the Lord. But I believe there are a lot of people in our nation that are so full of the world's philosophy of, I want to be the man, I want to be the leader, I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. And they are Christians, they are people who believe in Christ, but they don't understand that when they say no to the authorities that God has placed in their lives, they're saying no to the God that created them. So, what do I do if a leader leads wrongly? And what I'm going to show you, obviously we're not talking about extreme cases where there's violence and such as that in our relationships. But we're talking about an attitude that can permeate our relationships and hurt us from reaching our potential as husband and wife, as families, as God's people in His house, as His body, as His church. So what do I do if a leader leads wrongly? So can I go to him and just give him a piece of my mind? I don't think that would be wise. Well, I'm just going to go to them and tell them. Well, you know what? In my experience, with my wife and I, if she had something that she disagreed with or didn't like, I think she has felt free to tell me. Well, there's times that I don't want to hear those things. Right? Because when you hear them from her, you know they're true. She lives with me. She knows they're true. And boy, they pierce. But I do. I want to be a better husband. And I want to listen. Our pastor has never, as far as I know, the nearly 4 years that I've been here, there's never been a decision that has been made without him seeking counsel and seeking advice. Are there decisions that he could make and do that? Absolutely there are. And we as God's people should be behind him when he does and if he does. But he always seeks advice. He always seeks counsel. It's either through the staff. It's either from the faculty. It's either from the deacons. It's from the finance committee. But it's always somebody. I think that's an honorable trait. But what do I do if the leader leads wrongly? I think we have a Bible example in 1 Peter. If you turn over to 1 Peter with me. First Peter chapter 2. We're coming down the home stretch. First Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 11. First Peter chapter 2, verse 11. And really, I'd encourage you to read just this whole epistle in this context with this thought in your mind as far as following. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation, your lifestyle, your manner of living, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the what? The will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, all right, here we go. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Did you see that? Not only to those who are good bosses, but those who are perverse, froward, lost, wicked. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God, that's the key, conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he How am I supposed to respond when my boss is froward? Well, this is telling us exactly how we're supposed to respond. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That is so important. Committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Let's go on to chapter number 3. We've only got one more verse. Might as well read it, right? For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise, we're going into the other relationships now. Likewise, with that same attitude, that same vision as doing what we do and following as unto the Lord, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, well, what do I do if they don't do right? That if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. That is so powerful. And your life and your attitude of following, whether he's a good husband or not, could make all the difference in helping your husband, the leader of your home, becoming what he ought to become and what God wants him to be. But he's not going to become that if you preach to him every time he walks in the door and he's done something wrong. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Folks, what do we do if we think the leader is leading wrongly? Let me say this. Following is not about the man or the leader. It's about trusting God. It's not about the man, the woman, and the leader. It's about trusting God. Who gave that authority? Who gave that positional authority? God did. Did God know that there were going to be some good ones and some bad ones? I think so. But he gives us answers in the scriptures of how to respond to it. Now again, I'm not talking about extreme cases and violent. I'm not talking. You know what I'm trying to talk about and say. Is your employer, is he forward and unfair? Then I think the Bible teaches us that we're to go to his authority. Who's his authority? The owner of the business? Oh no, you got access to far greater authority than that. You go to the Lord. Lord, I want to be the employer that you want. I'm going to work. I'm going to be honest. If I'm supposed to be there 8 hours, I'm going to be there 8 hours. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to obey my employer. because he is paying me and he's putting food on my table. He's paying for my, he's helping me pay for my house and my car and putting clothes on my kids and keeping them fed. And so, Lord, I don't know if he knows you or not, but I pray that you would use me to help him know you. That you would give me grace to be the type of believer in the face of a froward boss, that he sees a difference. And God, that you would change him. I wonder how many times we do that. Oh, we'll go in the break room and we'll talk to somebody else about him, criticize back and forth. Go home and talk about them in our homes, but we need to talk to the Lord about them. Maybe your parents, kids, maybe your parents provoke you to wrath. Maybe they're not living right. What should you do? Tell them they're not living right? I go to church. You don't go to church. You ought to go to church. No, maybe you should go to your Lord and say, God, I want my parents to be in church. I want them to see you. And so I'm going to obey. Please help me to be the most obedient child that I can possibly be, because I don't want to give my parents an excuse to continue to run away from the Lord or to not be right with him. That's what you need to do. Is go to that ultimate authority. Ladies, your husband not doing right? He's not leading? Maybe he's not godly? Pray. Oh, Lord, help me to be the wife that you have commanded me to be, so that my husband can become the man that you want him to become. You know, it might change some things sometimes if we pray that way, don't you think? You disagree with the leadership of the pastor? You don't think it's the right thing? Why not go to the Lord, his boss? Lord, I know my pastor loves you, and his greatest desire is to follow your perfect will. I know he wants to follow your will. But I don't know about this or that. And so, Lord, I'm going to follow him because I'm trusting you. I'm going to follow my husband because, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm going to follow that froward and be obedient to that froward boss because, Lord, I'm following and trusting you. I'm trusting. It's not about the man. It's not about the leader. It's about trusting God, because God is the one who has placed that leader in that position, that authority, where it is. So what do? We talk to their ultimate authority, God, who is the giver of that authority. And then we just decide to follow with the right attitude. I'll end with this. The church in Acts, the church at Jerusalem, an amazing, amazing church. In verse 1, we find the purpose of the New Testament church is to continue the work that Jesus did, began to both do and teach. Verse 14, we find the apostles and other believers took that purpose to heart for themselves when Jesus ascended. And the Bible says these all continued. We understand that many great and mighty things were accomplished through the church at Jerusalem. Miraculous things were done. However, the miracles were not singularly accomplished because they chose to continue, but because of how they chose to continue. How did they choose to continue? You find these words all through the first 7 or 8 chapters of the book of Acts. In one accord. In one accord. The word accord means unanimous, unity. With one mind, with one passion. Jesus started his church with the 12 apostles. In Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 15, it had grown from 12 to 120. They were praying with one accord. They chose a fellow laborer to be numbered with the apostles. In chapter 2, the first 4 verses, 120 with one accord were filled with the Holy Ghost and they witnessed. And in verse 41, Peter preached and 3,000 were saved and baptized. And the Bible says, added unto them. 3,000. Added unto them. In verses 42 through 47, the Bible says the Lord added to the church daily. They were in one accord. In chapter 3, God uses Peter and John to heal a lame man, which opens the door to preach. And in verse number 4, they preach and about 5,000 get saved. Why? They continued in one accord. In verses 23 through 33, Peter and John were persecuted because of continuing to preach Christ. But God gave great grace. All their needs were met. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake the word of God with boldness. And in chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, the more added. Multitudes, both men and women. Why? They were in one accord. In chapter number 6 and verses 5 through 7, the whole multitude, they chose deacons together and multiplied greatly, the Bible says. They continued to grow and miraculous evangelistic outreach, and thousands were reached. Why? Because they were in one accord. And these great and mighty displays of God's power were not just the result of a handful of leaders, but also of a great army of followers who understood the importance of following them. Our church will go no further than our willingness to follow. That's an attitude. Not just do, but be ye. That's every one of us. Be ye therefore, because of what God asks, be ye therefore followers, imitators of God, as dear, innocent, selfless, fearful children hanging on to God's hand. Be ye therefore followers of God.